Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, last week I had a stretch where I had 4 funerals in 6 days. And I don't make any bones about it. I hate funerals because I see what funerals do. I see what death robs of us. And I was at that 4th funeral, got there a little early, and I was talking with one of the nieces of Mrs. Byerly, the deceased lady. And I told her, I said, today is my 4th funeral in the last 6 days. And she said, oh my. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm hoping that today will be the very last funeral I ever have to do. She looked a little aback and she said, are you going to retire? And I said, no. I pray every day that Jesus will come back. I hope he comes back today, because when Jesus comes back, funerals will be obsolete. We'll never have to do another one. And she laughed a little bit and she said, oh, I thought maybe you were going to do something else. And I said, nah, I'm not really fit for anything else, but I hate funerals. Remember early in my ministry, a husband of one of our members passed away. He was not a member here. He was a member of a Baptist church. He died rather suddenly, only in his 40s. So I went to the funeral. And I didn't have a part in that funeral. I was just there for her and her family. And I remember it was at a big Hetty's funeral home down in the south end of Louisville someplace. I remember it well because it's the only funeral home I've ever been in that had a balcony. And I went and sat in the balcony. So I was looking down at the pastor, and sitting in front of the pastor was that man's mother. She was a widow, and he was her only child. Sitting next to her was the man's wife, a young woman now bereaved of her husband. And sitting next to her was their teenage son, their only child. 3 people who were absolutely shattered, whose life had suddenly been emptied of someone most important to them. And you know what? That pastor did not mention Jesus in the whole sermon. He didn't mention Jesus until at the end of his sermon, he said a little prayer and said, in the name of Jesus. That man had 3 people in front of him who needed comfort. He never got around to mentioning Easter. He never mentioned the resurrection. He never mentioned reunion in heaven. He didn't bring to those 3 people any of the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and the salvation of his work. He mentioned numerous times that the man who was dead had been a very fine Christian, yet never got around to bringing to us the only thing that can give comfort at a time like that. By the time he was done with that sermon, I was livid. You might remember that when John Wilkes Booth assassinated President Lincoln, they were in a balcony. And after he killed the president, he leaped out of that balcony, landed on the stage, and then cried out in Latin, "Sic semper tyrannis," which means, "So with all tyrants." That day, I thought about jumping out of that balcony, knocking him down, and saying those same words, because what a tyrant he was. Because the one thing, the only thing, that can bring you and me comfort at a time when one of our loved ones in the Lord has died is the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the only thing that matters. And he kept that from those folks. And he made me angry. St. Paul says today in our lesson, if we have hope for Christ only in this life, we are to be pitied above all men. St. Paul understood that the gospel is centered on and rests on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It is the linchpin of the entire Christian faith. It is the central support on which all the rest of it rests. It's the main thesis of the New Testament. It is the proclamation of all the apostles. It is the one thing that all Christendom looks to. It is the forensic proof that God loves us. And it's the glory and the joy and the hope and the power of God in our lives. And without the resurrection, nothing matters. Nothing counts. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, all of this is foolishness. What you're doing today is without purpose. It's dumb. If Jesus didn't come out of that tomb, then this building is without value. And you and I, our faith is futile. That's what St. Paul says. And Paul knew that 1,963 years ago. I did the math. He wrote this letter to the Corinthians in 55 AD. Now it's 2019. You do the math, it's 1,963 years ago. St. Paul sat down with a quill pen and a piece of parchment, and he wrote this section and said, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not raised either. And if Christ is not raised, you and I have nothing left. Nothing at all. Without the resurrection, the church has no purpose. It has no point. And it has no power. And then you, good baptized Christians, confirmed in the faith, faithful enough to be here on a regular basis, you're doing something absolutely stupid and without merit. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you and I have nothing. And on top of that, every single person we knew and loved who believed in Christ Jesus and died, they're gone. They're lost. We'll never see them again. I won't see my mother again. I won't see my grandparents again, my aunts, my uncles, my brother Kurt. I won't see any of the friends that I've laid to rest in the years that I've been here at Grace. They'll all be gone. That's what St. Paul says today in our text. Without the resurrection, it's without merit. That's why he says the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord are of first importance. He says that's the first thing that I teach people. I tell them about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because everything else rests on that. And without that, there's no hope. That's why he says in 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that he will bring with him all those who have fallen asleep in him. As people who have no hope. In 1991, shortly after Easter, we began to get visitors, families, from Incarnation Lutheran up in Floyd's Knobs. It was on the corner of Luther Road and 150, just past Highlander Point. We had five or six different families that came to visit. And one of them was Harry and Rebecca Ross and their kids. And they pretty quickly indicated that they wanted to join our congregation. So I made an appointment. And I went up to see them at their home. And we talked and got acquainted a little bit. Then I said, okay, folks, I got to ask you something. I said, your family isn't the only family that's been coming from Incarnation. What's going on at Incarnation? And Harry said, well, it's pretty easy. We got tired of going to Easter services and not hearing about the resurrection. I was like, what? I said, your pastor didn't talk about the resurrection on Easter. No. So what did he talk about? I don't know. He said, he did some kind of children's message, but it didn't have anything to do with Easter. I couldn't hardly believe it. And I said, well, do you know why he didn't talk about the resurrection? He said, yeah, he doesn't believe it happened. I about fell off my chair. Not only that this was a Lutheran pastor who didn't believe in the resurrection, but the very fact that you're a Christian. How can you be a Christian and not believe in the resurrection? He said, well, the pastor says that it wasn't necessary for Jesus to physically rise out of the tomb, because when the disciples got together and they began to remember Jesus' words and Jesus' actions, Jesus became alive to them in their minds. And I remember thinking right then, and I said it to them, I said, has the man never read 1 Corinthians 15? St. Paul says, if Christ be not raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. By the way, you can drive up there on 150 and Luther Road now. The building is still there. Not Lutheran anymore. The Mormons bought it because he killed that congregation. He killed it because when you take the hope of the resurrection out of the church, there's no purpose to the church anymore. They either flee looking for the message or they give up the faith altogether. St. Paul says that if Christ is not raised, our preaching is useless. What I'm telling you now would be without merit. Your faith would be useless. It would do you no good. If Christ is not raised, then we are false witnesses, because we've said God raised him from the dead. And he says, then your faith is futile. It does you no good. It's got no purpose to it. Worse yet, if Christ is not raised, you and I are still in our sins. There's no salvation then. There was no, that death on the cross meant nothing, because he died on the cross and he was dead and that's the end of it. Does us no good. He says, if Christ isn't raised, then all of those that have died in Christ, they're gone. We'll never see him again. And he says, and then we're to be pitied more than all men. And that's a fact, Jack. Without the resurrection, there's nothing. But then, St. Paul finishes. Did you catch that? The very last verse of that epistle lesson. It starts with a word, a little one. Three letters long, B-U-T. But, and I'll tell you right now, what a beautiful word that is in that spot right there. Because Paul's been talking about the fact that without the resurrection, none of these things, this won't happen, this is no good, this is useless, this is futile. Then he says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But Christ has indeed been raised. And that takes everything he said before it and flips it on its head. Now he says, because Jesus is raised, our preaching isn't useless, it's priceless. And because Jesus has been raised, your faith isn't useless, your faith is vital. It gives you life. Because Jesus is raised, there's no false witnessing going on. Now it's a proclamation of the truth. And because Jesus is raised, your faith isn't futile. Your faith is absolutely necessary and absolutely life-giving. Because Jesus has been raised, you're not in your sins anymore. You are a forgiven child of the Almighty God. And because Jesus has been raised, all those who have died in Christ, we're going to see him again. When Jesus comes, he's going to bring with him all those who have fallen asleep in him. We're going to see every last one of them again. Moms and grandmas and dads, brothers and sisters and spouses. We're going to see them again and we are going to rejoice before the throne of God. And because Jesus has been raised, we're not to be pitied. We are to be envied. Because we have a hope that the world doesn't have. We have an understanding that the world can't give. We have a prize that we couldn't earn, we couldn't buy, we couldn't steal it, but it's been given to us through the grace of God, and we have hope. When I said to that lady last Monday, I hope I never ever have to do another funeral. I was serious. I wish the Lord would come back right now. That'd be great. Be the end of all this junk that we have to live with and deal with. And there would be joy and fullness and communion again with all those that went before us. But if he tarries, and if I have to do some more funerals, even if I have to do your funeral, I promise you this. Pastor Woods and I, we are going to preach the resurrection. Because without it, there's nothing. But with it, we have the whole kingdom of God. It is the only comfort that we have at a time like that. It is the powerful hope that comes in Christ Jesus. And it's all founded on this one statement. And Jesus made it. Because I live, you will live also. That's the good news. Amen.